Welcome back to News and Views as we come to you live from studio, not just south. Hank, it's in my way south. I realize that every now and then you run into people that everybody, well, knows, quite frankly. Dale Nisua is one of those individuals. Dale, for years, I worked with in the legislature, and he was a champion of the power industry, working with Basin Electric and making sure that we all have good, reliable power out there. But, you know, times change, life change. And then you run into somebody where it's like, hey, there's Dale. Good to have you on, Dale. How you been?
Great to be here. It's been fun.
How's retirement treating you?
Retirement's been good. Been busier than I thought I would be. But, you know, you retire, you always have those projects that you set up and say, boy, when I retire, I'm going to get them done. So the last couple of years, I've been catching up on those projects. So, yeah.
Nobody's making you tear down a barn. You know that, right? I mean, there are folks who retired to South Dakota in the Sioux Falls area, and you decided to tear down a barn.
Yeah, we knew when we retired, we'd go back to South Dakota, where we were born and raised. Both my wife and I's mothers are still down there. And we built a place on my grandmother's farm. So now it's a plan. And there was a 90-year-old barn that we had hoped to, you know, renovate at some time. See, we kept that thing going for 20 years, and you still end up with this old barn. So ended up that last summer, me and M Farm All, a Sawzall, and 150 feet of tow rope tore the old barn down and got it down and built a new building in its place.
There's really not much of that to throw away either, is there? I mean, everybody wants a piece of that.
Well, it was good. The barn's in great shape, but it was still a 90-year-old barn. I had a lot of the local townsfolk were not happy with me when I tore the barn.
Oh, really?
They said, that's part of history. You know, you're tearing that down. That's not what you'd be doing. So, but they got over it. Got new building.
They either had to get over there and get counseling, one of the two, because it went down. I'm kind of curious, all those years working in the power industry, helping out with Basin. I mean, what do you remember the most about that? Because the industry itself, from delivery to management to everything, it really evolved in your time there.
It did. Yeah, you know, when I first started that Basin, that was back in 1986, you know, all we had was coal plants. That's all we had. And then, you know, it transitioned into a couple little gas plants, but the wind industry came along at that point. And Basin was at the forefront. I know that Minn Kota got a couple of wind turbines up first, and then we put some in to see how it was going to work and got it going. And then so that was the big change, was the two big problems that I really dealt with were kind of the transition to wind energy and some gas, and then the other regulations. We got inundated with a lot of regulation on the coal plants.
Yeah, that was, and that's still ongoing. You knew that. You could kind of see. I think the brightest thing you guys did was diversify. And the argument that you made to the nation that the word coal isn't always a dirty word. And I think that was a tough argument to make, but I thought you guys made it pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was on your side.
Well, I enjoyed working with you, and the North Carolina Legislature was great. You know, we always had a great working relationship with us. You know, it wasn't always a free pass. We had to make our case, but you guys were able to listen and were willing to do some things and do a lot of changes with us. The big fight we had always was federal. Was always going down there and trying to explain. And and even part of our national organization wasn't that impressed, because we said, no, we're not shutting down our coal plants. They are a good, clean, reliable thing we got to keep going. And I guess I've always been very proud of the fact that we've got good plants. They've been going well and providing that reliable power.
I'd always be really curious if you shut them off for one day, how much people would really like it.
We've always joked internally we should give people a carbon-free day.
Give them one and see how well it goes. I want to ask you a little bit, and not that you're still the spokesperson for the industry, but you were one of the individuals that people like me relied on. But we say Basin, and Basin is a brand that the upper Midwest hears, and they know. But I don't think they know they get how big of a footprint it is, how it goes way beyond certain borders.
No, that's true. You know, we cover an 8-state area, coming from like Montana to Minnesota and Montana down the south. We have some members in Colorado, even over into Iowa. So, no, it was a big place. Basin's philosophy has always been, though, we wanted to be, the wholesale power generator. We wanted to be the person in the background. We wanted people to recognize the local co-ops, like the Montreal Williams, like the Capital Electrics, like the Cass County Electrics, and those. They were the ones that were where the rubber meets the road. They're the ones that met the end-use consumer. So we always wanted to be the support role in the back. And that's, I think, Bassett's done a good job of that.
I always tried to explain to people when they were talking about, you know, the electric industry, I said, well, consider Basin in the water industry a well, because exactly. because they're going to produce the water, and then the pipeline. And in your particular case, in my life, what I rely on from Dakota Valley Electric, the old RSR system, mm-hmm. you know, you had Basin, then you had Central, and then you had RSR. Absolutely. And in the end, my deep freeze was working.
That's it. Yeah, we always say that Basin is a three, or the Basin organization is a three-tiered co-op, where you have Basin, mm-hmm. a generator. And then you have those transmission co-ops with, like you said, Central Electric and those, and then that end use consumer, which was a local distribution co-op.
Okay, so now I'm going to get in trouble with you, but I don't care. It's still my show. So you and Jane, you know, you sold the Harley to buy a what?
A golf cart.
What has
I tell you what, you know you're getting
life.
Old. You know you're getting old when you get to that point. I tell you what.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you heard that back home. Many of the people who know Dale and Jane, but they sold a Harley to buy a golf cart.
And it's
so some of that lumber fell on your head when you were tearing down that
We did. That's the problem. And we loved riding, did a lot of riding. We made one big trip out to New Hampshire, but most of the time was just heading down River Road to Washburn. And
yeah.
We were a 55 mile an hour look at the scenery kind of mm-hmm. cycle run to Washburn, have a burger and a beer, and go home. But for a while, the Harley just didn't get out of the garage, and
yeah.
we golf when we're home. We probably golf five times a week, so we get more use out of that.
Sure,
so.
Sure. I mean, it's believe me, it's the phase that I'm right about at. If you're not riding it, you're not using it, then you shouldn't have it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Doesn't mean you don't like looking
well,
at it.
Well, and we still got quite a few little dirt bikes that yeah. we run around the farm on. Yeah. So I get a little bit of a fix there.
I want to say something else too. And I'm exposing all of Dale's personal life, but that's what he gets for having a beer with me at about 10 o'clock at night. Dale, you built a chalice. Is that what it's called? I mean, I don't know what it's referred to, but more and more of my friends have built that. Scott and Galshut, I mean, yeah. more and more people are using that as a means of where they live, where they store.
Yeah.
I mean, it works pretty cool.
Oh, it's been great for us. And they get called a chouse, shop house, or shome, shop home.
Okay.
Same thing. Chouse seems to be a little bit more prevalent. But yeah, I mean, when we built the place on the farm, we wanted, you know, low maintenance. So what we did is we built about a 60 by 90 or 50 by 90 or 50 by 100 shed. And then half of it is apartment. It's three okay. bedrooms, two, three baths, and then kitchen and everything. And then the rest of it is open shop. Now, our original plan was that Jane was going to have the house part to do all her stuff, and I was going to have the shop.
Wait for it here, folks. It's coming.
And then, you know, that was, we built that in 2020, and here it is 2023, you had to build another building because I got kicked out of my part of the job, which is going to become now a quilting center, a craft center, a
exercise room. She's going to let you store the golf cart
yeah.
there?
Oh, yo, I don't know. Maybe in the winter. We have to negotiate that part. So I had to build a new building so I can do my things out there. So, and I talked to my friends and I say, this is what happened. And they go, you knew that was coming, didn't you? And I said, no, I guess I was just that naive. I thought I could actually do what I wanted.
Well, somebody else who you worked very closely with, you know, a buddy of both of ours, Eric Crowder, did the same thing.
Okay.
He built that, you know, on the farm. And so we went, shot a couple birds this fall with him. And just, I don't know that I'd ever build anything other than that again. Well, I really don't.
And it's for, you know, when you're growing up, you're always at your mom and dad's house,
yeah.
you know, and so everyone comes home. And for the while lately, you know, our family got to be 20, 22 people and just couldn't fit at mom's house anymore. So having our showroom works great because we just set up a bunch of tables out in the shop part. Everybody comes over, we have dinner and move the table aside and they play games and the kids run around and
yep.
knock each other over, and it's great to keep all the mess out there. So it's really worked out well for
yeah.
our family.
I just looked at like the one that Aaron showed me, and I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's, I mean, it's, we all grow into something, and it gets away from the tradition. You know, you just yeah. mentioned how people maybe didn't like the barn going down. There's a tradition there, right? I mean, things change.
Yeah.
I got to ask you because it's going to come at me. The cupola is on the top. Were you able to save those?
I was able to. And I tore the whole barn down by myself. So that was much of the
How'd you get them down from the roof?
Well,
the fireball had something to do with it.
Well, I ended up with the cubicle. It was really in good shape. So I had, but I ended up just tying a rope from the inside of the barn and then would crawl up there with a ladder and took it all loose, started to shove it off the end while the rope held it. Uh-huh. And then I would get down and let the rope a little bit down, get up, push the cupola down the side to go back outside, see how low I was. And so running back and forth in a half day, I slowly slid it down. And it was a round roof barn, slid it down and kept it. So we've got an old metal Quonset. And this summer, the plan is to take the old barn cupola, put it on the metal shed so we keep part of history still on the farm.
Sure. I have this image now of how you did it. And there had to be some prayer involved.
I had a good friend of mine loan me some scaffolding, and the scaffolding was almost high enough to get up there. But I was at the very top of the scaffolding. Luckily, I had a son-in-law who gave me a safety harness. So I did safety myself in, but that didn't stop the knees from shaking or the sphincter necks to get a little high.
Not only that, but you had to be pretty strong because you can't just easily hang onto the rope without going for a ride. All right, stick around, Dale. Welcome back to News and Views. Dale Neesworth is with us. Dale and I, well, we worked together in Bismarck for a number of years, but he went and retired and he moved down here for the winter months. How are you liking it?
Oh, I'm sorry. After 30 years in South Dakota, 30 years in North Dakota, I said, I retire, no winter, no wind. So winter we got taken care of. The wind, they said, I don't think I'll be able to get rid of that.
But yeah.
It's been great. We last day at Basin was in January 18th, 2022, and it was 18 below zero when we loaded up the U-Haul trailer and headed out. So had some friends that ended up coming down here to Cape Coral, and they said, you got to come down here, you got to come down here. And I said, well, we were thinking about Tampa, and they said, oh, it's too cold up there. I said, it's Florida. I'm from North Dakota. It's going to be better. So
it's going to be warm.
Ended up down, and it's fun. We came down here and ended up getting introduced to five or six other couples from North Dakota, from Bismarck, or from North Dakota. And so all of a sudden, we had an instant group to hang around with. So it's been a great time.
I hanging out at the Twin Stadium for the last, I've been to, three games since I've been down here. I keep running into people like you that retired here that just hang out. And the next thing you know, you're taking pictures with somebody from Kent, Minnesota, you know, kind of a thing. And it's just a great way for Sue and I to break up the winter a little bit. You know, we're not going to be here long for a couple of weeks, but I can see why you love it. Yeah. I mean, it is beautiful.
It's the same thing. Yeah. We stick around home for Christmas and that. And so that gives you time after Christmas and New Year's. Get your stuff put back together, and we usually spend February and March down here. And it was, the only problem is, end of March we head back. We think it's summer because it's been so nice down here, and we hit back into the Dakotas and realize, well, winter's not quite always over when you get back there at that time.
But, last year winter was about as brutal in March as what you. And then this year you have a winter like we have, which makes you wonder why you have a house in Florida.
Yep, exactly. Right. Yeah, we had the friends that we drive down here with last year. They had to stay a couple extra nights at our place in South Dakota because the roads were closed to get back to Bismarck. So
I don't doubt it. Yeah. I mean, last winter, I mean, we're not too far apart in age, you and I. I don't remember a winter I disliked more than last winter.
Oh, luckily we were down here, and it was, you know, when you're sitting down here, and it was hot down here in the mid-80s, so you're sitting by the pool watching the weather report, it gives you a warm glow inside to know you're not there. You feel sorry for everyone that's still back
to know you're not the one that's driving on those roads, and they were just incredibly hard. So when you take a look at, you know, the different phases, you know, the electric industry, South Dakota, North Dakota. I mean, a lot of people that are listening, you go through these, do you get withdrawal? It's a long way to ask that question, but do you ever get withdrawal from being in the workplace?
You know, I enjoyed a lot the work we did with the North Dakota legislature. It was, to me, that was always fun. You were right involved with all the issues, and it got decided. I mean, when you went to the legislature, if you had an issue, you know, you grab a legislator and say, here, we would like your vote in this position for this issue. And you give me arguments, and it was yes or no. And you knew within 3 or 4 weeks whether it was going to go or not, and you were done. So the problem, the frustrating part was working on all the federal issues, especially regulation, because it's not done. It could take, you know, 5 to 10 years to get an issue resolved. And during that time with the Senate office and House office, they always have new staff coming in. So you're always going down there and re-educating them. Well, here's what Basin is. Here's what the issue is. Here's what we are. And doing that. And then, you know, by the time you get an issue resolved one way or the other, it may not be even anywhere near what you started out with. But to answer the question, that was a long way to get around it. Enjoyed the issues, enjoyed the people I work with. But I tell you what, there's just something about not having to check your email every 3 minutes. But
when you were there and I was there, you know, I mean, it didn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat, it functioned. No, I mean, government functioned. It's you know, now it's like people don't want to govern sometimes, you know, and they serve. And it would definitely be hair ripping out time if you were there.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it would be a whole different game than I was there, because you're right. It didn't really matter. You took your issues to both sides and said, you know, we want your support on both sides. At least with most of the utility issues, you know, there were partisan stuff. So we didn't have to worry about that part of it. And really had a good time getting along with everyone.
Well, you were good at it, and it was fun to work with you. Fun to run into you down here. You know, we'll see you some more before we pull the pin. So
great to be on.
Thanks for popping by, Dale.
You bet.